welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Friend, you may not agree with what is taught in this lesson, but if you do not at first agree, let me kindly say to you that you now have an opportunity to learn something you need to learn and correct your views. There are various threats to the Lord's church at this time, and one of which is rebellion against authority. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, 13 through 15, when Samuel was introducing Saul, the first king of Israel, to the nation, he said, "Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." In 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, after King Saul's failure to destroy the Amalekites as he was commanded to do, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, friend, when Samuel called rebellion as witchcraft, he assigns rebellion as running roughshod over deity, claiming to have the rights and the powers of deity, claiming to do that which only belongs to deity. Rebellion is disrespect and disregard of authority, the defiance of commands, acting contrary to authority and without authority. It is the opposite of obedience and submission. We see rebellion in civil affairs, do we not? And in the home? Against parents, in the schools, against teachers and their rules. It is quite evident in religion. Even those in the church from time to time are rebellious. There be those who claim to have liberty which they do not have before God. They are the do-your-own-thing kind of people. They use various authorities, such as a clergyman or theologians, their feelings, their ancestors, creeds, the majority rule, the status quo, venerable men, and other non-authoritative sources when they should conform to the authority of Christ, as revealed in the Bible. We shall concern ourselves with but one area of authority and rebellion, and that is regarding the government of the Lord's church as it relates to the elderships of congregations. The government of the church is determined by biblical revelation. What works is not the standard. Sometimes people think that if something works, why, it's all right. Friend, no, that's not the standard to use. All authority belongs to Christ, Matthew 28:18. And he is the head of the church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. The apostles are given authority by Christ through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, John chapters 14, 15, and 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Matthew 16, and other passages. The will of the Lord that was once embodied in inspired men is now embodied in the inspired Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. When one uses the Word as authority, he will speak as the Word speaks, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. He will learn that there is no organizational form larger than the local church. And the local church is overseen by qualified men called elders or bishops or pastors or shepherds or presbyters. Local churches had both elders and the deacons. There were elders in every church, Acts 14:23. Friend, God's way works. Contrary to what is sometimes heard from the prating of men who seek control, elderships do have authority over the local church. It is so disappointing to read from the pens of some who call themselves brethren the challenges of this basic biblical truth. They say that the idea that elderships have authority is alien to the New Testament. They say it's worldly. It's born of a naive biblical scholarship and the King James Version. Time after time, friend, rebels show their hatred toward the King James Version, and little wonder that they do hate it. It stands between them and their goals to dominate and subvert and change and restructure the church. Modern versions advocate the false positions these rebels have taken. In them, rebels find more latitude to believe and practice whatever they want. And some have even said that elders have no authority at all. Others have said they have authority, but only as examples. I tell you, friends, such people only betray their contempt for plain and clear Scripture. Now, elders are not always what they ought to be. Is that news? Elders are sometimes disobeyed by some members. Is that news? But to contend that elderships have no authority, except possibly as examples, something everybody ought to do and be and have, why, that's grossly and reprehensibly wrong. One liberal scholar has written an article where he took one Greek word that means authority and tried to show it was never used with reference to the eldership. Well, that's right. But he omitted nearly a dozen other words that affirm the very thing he was denying. And even the word he cited demands obedience, the same kind of obedience that is to be given to the eldership. Such is not scholarship, friend, but dishonest sophistry, unsound doctrine, digressive heresy. But so it is so often with the self-acclaimed learned wise men of our day. If elderships have authority, then it is rebellion to deny it. It is rebellion against the source that grants elderships authority. On the other hand, if elderships have no authority, it is usurpation of authority to claim it for them. Now, just whose authority is usurped must be established. Seeing the Lord's attitude toward rebellion, this is a serious matter whichever way one goes. Numbers chapter 16 tells of a man named Korah, another named Dothan, and Abiram, who challenged the authority of Moses. Now that challenge was considered a challenge to the authority of God, because God had granted authority to Moses. And the result was God's wrath against that faction and their ultimate destruction. When one considers the duties assigned to elders, he is forced to admit that they have authority. Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Does not this grant authority for their self-examination? Do they not have, at the same stroke, authority over the flock as well as themselves? Is not the authority to discharge duty inherent in the charge of that duty? Why, certainly so. In Acts 20 and verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Friend, do not watchmen have duties? What value is there to attentiveness and vigilance when they are powerless to do anything about what is seen? Why warn the watchers if they are helpless and have no right to do anything about what they see? 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now, friend, to rule literally means to rule with authority. Taking care of the church was equated with the rule of the father over the home. Now, this is not of a worldly source. This is from Scripture. Are fathers limited in ruling the house to merely being an example? Cannot fathers command their children as did Abraham, Genesis 18 and verse 19, and Proverbs 22 and verse 6? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 reads, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Again, we see that elders are to rule. This means they take the lead, they preside over, they oversee, they superintend. This means they possess authority. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Now, those who are over the brethren are to be esteemed because of the work that they do. They are over the brethren because they have authority. They have the power to direct and to command. This is the same word used in Acts 26 by Paul when referring to his attitude toward Agrippa, the ruler of the land, one in authority. It means to come before one of authority. Away forever with the false doctrine that elderships have no authority. It is a sinister attempt to seize power to inject whatsoever somebody wants into the bloodstream of the church without anybody having power to call their hand. That's what's behind all of that. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember, be mindful of your leaders. That's what Paul is saying. There are those who are over you and who rule over you. And this is in a religious context, not in the context of a civil official. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Again, the ones to be remembered are the ones to be obeyed. They watch for the souls of those under their authority. They will be held accountable for each one. Will they be held accountable and yet denied the necessary authority to carry out what they are charged to do? Look again, Hebrews 13 and verse 24, salutes those that have the rule over you. This refers to the same men as Titus 1 and verse 7, but for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. A steward is an overseer, possessing delegated authority. He is an administrator, a manager, a superintendent. Now, we've already noted that some want to be free to do whatever they want, and elderships might prevent them from doing that. But we wonder why this outburst of rejection of the authority of elderships. There are several reasons why. And while we have no desire or intent to judge motives of proponents of this false doctrine, we do judge the fruits, and we want to discover the source of it. The pastor system, that is, preachers ruling things, the doctrine that is erroneously sometimes called evangelistic authority, has captivated some who are more ambitious than informed. Preachers have authority, that's true, but their authority is to preach the word. Titus 2 and verse 15, rebuke with all authority. The word here means by the way of commandment, giving a charge backed by the authority of God. A preacher is a leader, but he is not the leader. Paul, when he wished to teach those who had charge of things, did not send for the preachers. He sent for the elders. They are the ones that have the charge of the church. Certainly there is a tragic abuse and misuse of authority. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3 warns of brethren lording it over their other brethren. I one time had an elder to tell me that when a boss tells the employee to move that box, the employee must move that box. Well, I told him that's fine between bosses and employees and box moving. But he was not boss and his brethren were not his employees and we were not moving boxes. You see, this man had the dictator attitude toward his position, and he abused his authority. He must have thought when he was made an elder, he had been crowned king of some kind. Diotrephes, you know, in 3 John had this problem of desiring to be the big dog in the kennel, loving preeminence among brethren, having brethren do as he arbitrarily saw fit. We must distinguish between using authority and abusing authority. The very prohibition of abusing power, however, indicates the right use of power had been granted. This is one reason for not allowing a novice to become an elder, lest his lack of understanding and immaturity allow him to abuse authority. Too many have simply not studied God's government. They like to imitate what they think works and what they think is practiced by the denominations. Some are even impressed with a democratic form of government in the church, and they call it the majority rule. And sometimes it seems more of a mob rule because of the disorderly ways some rebellious ones try to take over the church to their own satisfaction. This one man, one vote doctrine is not applicable to the Lord's church. Oh, it might be in other organizations, religious and secular. But this is not the way God's church operates. Rebellion, pride, arrogance, rule or ruin attitudes, they exist. We should never be protective of abuses of authority and power, but we must be protective of the oversight God has given elderships. Such rebellion is often born of the disposition of contempt for oughtness and, as stated, a wholesale distaste for the King James Version. They would forbid eldership from forbidding teachers from perverted versions, the very kind of versions the liberals love and use and promote. There are various areas of authority that belong to the elderships. Their authority is delegated. It is limited, according to God's word. They never have the authority greater than God. God must always be placed before civil government, before parents, and before elderships, or anyone in anything else. We cannot set aside His will to obey men when men would direct us contrary to His will. We cannot make obligations optional. We cannot alter the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins, for instance, or the restrictions on women to being forbidden to preach, or following other practices that would disassemble the assembly rather than assembling brethren, or change the time and the day to observe the Lord's Supper, or many other matters where God is spoken. It's a sorry tale to learn how some contend women may teach mixed classes and preach if the elders approve. Friend, elders might approve, but elders cannot and do not have authority to approve what God does not. Neither can we bind something optional, some custom, some human opinion, as if it was the law of God. Elderships don't have this right either. Some have tried to redefine Christianity with demands untaught in Scripture, forbidding the church to do certain works that are authorized in Scripture for both individuals and churches. Elders are to see that the church they oversee fulfills its divinely appointed mission. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Elders are to convict the gainsayer and to keep the church pure, to feed the flock the truth of God, keeping peace among brethren, not by compromise or negotiation, but by a firm, kind, inflexible stand for truth. Executing these duties will often call for the exercise of judgment. Here is the realm of their authority and activity. Only one bent on rebellion will scoff at this contention. Someone must make decisions. Oh, I know some laugh at that. But every group of people must have someone in charge to make decisions. It's true of the Lord's church also. The Lord has placed that duty, with authority, on the eldership. The authority of an eldership is limited to one congregation. Now, while there are to be elders in every church, Acts 14:23, they have the oversight of the flock which is among them, 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. The doctrine and practice of satellite churches, many small churches operating under one super eldership, that's not biblical. It is apostasy that has already been experienced many times in the religious realm. We must recognize that there is simply no larger organization of the church than the local church. And elders have the oversight of the local church, and their authority is limited thereto. And as we close, let us understand. While elders are not perfect, we know that, individually nor collectively, and I have known but only one or two who ever seemed to think that they were, good elderships do not claim to be perfect. But their authority is unmistakable. And the duty of the congregation toward them is unmistakable. And to rebel against that authority is to rebel against the God who delegated them that authority. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.